Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, September the 29th. We're getting a lot of rain. We got a lot of rain this morning here in the Texas area, in North Texas area, that is. Right now, it looks a little cloudy. I don't know that we're going to get that much more rain today, but we sure had a lot of it this morning. Well, today we're going to look back at some wonderful baseball moments this week in baseball history. Three of the biggest things that happened in baseball history happened at the end of September. Babe Ruth in 1927, Ted Williams in 1941, and Willie Mays in 1954. We're going to look back at these three extremely important moments that had a defining consequence, as they like to say, on the history of the game, and certainly left their mark and in many ways identified these three great players when we think of them as great baseball players. Speaking of baseball, I want to say happy number 69 to Steve Busby. Steve Busby was a great young pitcher in the early 1970s. His arm gave out on him, unfortunately. He was not able to realize the kind of career that I think was projected for him, but eventually he ended up on television, and he was a wonderful television baseball analyst for, my goodness, I think 30 years. I mean, since I moved to Texas in 84, he was doing the Rangers games back then in 1984. He retired last year, but this is one of the great baseball, as they like to say, one of the great analysts of baseball. He also did some radio, but he was a lot better. He was a lot better in baseball. Well, let's look at baseball history. On this week, exactly on this day in 1927, Babe Ruth hit number 60, his 60th home run for the season. And that number 60 was a magical number in baseball history. Ruth had hit 59 and 58 a couple of times, but he had never hit number 60. And he did it on the very last day of the season in 1927. That of course, was a magical season for the Yankees. They went on to sweep the World Series. And that was a Yankee team that is considered one of the great teams of all time. They had Lou Gehrig and a bunch of other great players on that team. And for Babe Ruth, I think the number 60 for such a long time was identified with Babe Ruth. And there was, of course, in 1961 when Roger Maris hit 61, but of course he did it in eight more games. I'm not taking anything away. Please understand, I'm not taking anything away from Roger Maris, who had a fantastic season too. But he did it in 162 games, whereas Ruth had 154 game season. So he had eight more games to do it. Now, on the other side, I'm sure people will say yes, but Roger Maris was playing a lot of night baseball. He was traveling coast to coast. So that's completely true. In fact, as I said, I'm not taking anything away from Roger Maris. But there's no question that number 60 was identified with Babe Ruth for much of the 20th century. And it was the one number that, honestly, a lot of us never thought anybody would break. When Maris did it in 61, I mean, he was just 61, but it was still a tough thing to do. But Roger did it, and Babe Ruth, you know, had that record for a long time. Of course, the other big record that Babe Ruth had was 714 home runs, and that, of course, was passed by Henry Aaron in 1974. So Babe Ruth, on this day in 1927, set a standard that hung around for 34 years, 60 home runs in a season. And there's no question that Babe Ruth was the single biggest force in baseball history. Now, there have been a lot of great players. I don't want to get into a debate with you as to who was the greatest player. I'm talking about his economic contribution to the game. It was Babe Ruth who really saved the game after the White Sox scandal of 1917-1919, when, you know, a lot of the fans walked away because there was anger at the game of baseball. And they came back. They came back because of Babe Ruth, who started putting people in the seats, as they used to say back then. So that was the big one on this day in 1927, Babe Ruth hitting number 60. The next big one was the 1941 season, again on this day in 1941. Now, 1941 was a magical season for baseball, because baseball became really the great distraction for the American people in 1941. Even though the United States was not officially in the war at this time in 1941, The fact is that everybody was suspecting that the war was coming. There was a war going on in Europe. There was a war going on in China, in the Pacific, in Japan. And I think everybody was sort of like saying, you know, how much longer can we stay out of this? How much longer can we stay neutral? But of course, December 7th, 1941, ended that neutrality very, very quickly. But in 1941, the season of 1941 gave us Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, which is still, I think, the greatest individual achievement, I think, of any sport. I mean, I know that it's hard to compare sports, and I also know that it's hard to compare different eras. But I just simply cannot think of anything more incredible in any sport than someone hitting 56 games or having a 56-game hitting streak. You know, the closest thing to this was Pete Rose in 1978, when Pete Rose had 44 games, that streak of 44 games. But there's a big difference between 44 and 56, but it just goes to show you how difficult 56 games is. So that baseball season, for much of the early part of the season, May, June, and July, the country was tuned in to Joe DiMaggio and the amazing streak. But then as we got into late summer, September, the attention focused on Ted Williams, who was having an amazing season at the plate. And as we were getting toward the middle of September and the end of September toward the end of the season, he was flirting with a .400 batting average. And on the last day of the season, September 29th, 1941, Ted Williams was actually hitting .3996, which means it would have been rounded up to 400, because that's the way they do it. They round it up to 400 when you have a number like that. So he had a .400 batting average. You know, that's how it would go down on the record books. So the manager told him, "Ted, you don't have to play. You're already a 400 hitter." And Ted said, no, I'm going to play because I'm not really a 400 hitter. It's 3996, and I don't want people to bring that up. I'm either going to be a 400 hitter or I'm not. So he went out and played the doubleheader, and he had one of the greatest games or doubleheaders of his career. He went 6-for-8, elevating his batting average to .406 and giving him that average of .406 for the 1941 season. He was the last one, the last player to hit 400 without question, in terms of consistency. Not the day-to-day consistency of DiMaggio's hitting 56 games, but clearly from the standpoint of getting out there every day, you know, two hits every five at-bats, that's a very difficult thing to do. Two hits every five at-bats is what it takes to hit 400. And here he is. He did it in 1941. No question that it was one of the greatest hitting performances over a season. Not in the case of DiMaggio, of course, which is over a 56-game streak. We're going to take a little break. We're going to get back to more baseball history after we hear from our friend Carlos Guedes.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos right there on the show information. If you look at the show information right under that, you will see a link to Carlos' schedule here in the Dallas area. I mentioned a minute ago that it was happy 69 for Steve Busby. Well, I also want to say happy number 83 for Jerry Lee Lewis, who was born on this day in Louisiana. Of course, Jerry Lee Lewis, one of the great superstars of rock in the 1950s. Great balls of fire, a whole lot of shaking going on. One of the really big characters in rock and roll history. Gene Autry was born on this day in 1907. He died in 1998. He has a baseball connection. He owned the California Angels, or Los Angeles Angels, whatever their name was at that particular time. The Great Cowboy was also a baseball owner. And speaking of television, in 1960, My Three Sons went on the air today, and My Favorite Martian went on the air in 1963, My Three Sons in 1960. Well, let's get back to our little trip down baseball memory lane. We talked about Babe Ruth hitting number 60 on this day in 1927. We talked about Ted Williams finishing the amazing 1941 season with a batting average of .406. By the way, just as a side note here, Ted Williams hit 388 in 1958. That's 17 years later. He hit 388. I mean, that's just unbelievable what a swing that fellow had. And speaking of 406, only George Brett has come close to that. He did it in 1980. Now, Tony Gwynn also hit 394 in 1994, but that was the strike season. I think he only got 100 games in or less than 100 games in, so he did it. I'm not taking anything away from him. But obviously, it was not a full season, but nevertheless, he did hit 394. I don't care how you hit 394. I think if you hit 394 over 60, 70, 80, 90 games, that's quite an achievement. Now, George Brett, of course, did it over the 1988 season. Well, Willie Mays is the other great baseball moment that we want to remember. I'm talking about Willie Mays in 1954. At the time, Willie Mays was a fairly young player. He was not the superstar that he came to be. He had come into the major leagues in 1951. He went into military service, so he came back in 54, and that was the year that the Giants got into the World Series against the Cleveland Indians. That was the Cleveland Indians team that won 111 games. So they went into the series clearly as a favorite to win that series. And in game one, with several men on base, somebody hit a line drive to center field, you know, that was probably going to hit the wall. Now, remember, this is the old Polo Grounds where center field was like almost 480, 490. So this was a deep center field. I mean, if you hit a ball over the center fielder's head in that old Polo Grounds, it was probably going to be a triple at the very least, or an inside the park home run, because center field was so deep at that particular park. I don't remember the exact measurements, but it was not your typical 420, 430 center fielder that you see, or center field fence that you see in most major league parks. I'm pretty sure that it was over 450. I'm that much. I wouldn't be surprised if it was close to 480, but I'm not. I don't really have the exact number. Well, it was very deep. If you hit the ball over the center field, it was over. You were probably going to get an inside the park home run. So somebody hit a ball right up the middle. It was a line drive right up the middle. And most people watching it were probably thinking, okay, is he going to get a triple? Is it an inside the park home run? You know, just what's going to happen? You know, some of these calculations that you make when you're at the ballpark. And then out of nowhere, Willie Mays turns around, runs like a deer back, and he makes an over the catch with his back to the pitcher. I mean, it was just unbelievable. If you watch the rerun of this thing, if you watch the video of this thing, it's amazing he got to it. That ball was flying. It was a rocket. And he turned around and he ran like crazy and he caught it. And, you know, one of the announcers who was doing the radio game looked and, you know, when he saw that, he said, I think most of the people here at the Polo Grounds have seen an optical illusion, because that's exactly what it was. You know, for people at that time, you know, Willie Mays, just like Babe Ruth, broke new ground with 60 home runs, just like Ted Williams broke new ground with 406. That catch by Willie Mays broke ground. Nobody had seen a catch like that before. That catch took Willie Mays' center field skill to a level that no one had ever seen before. Nobody had ever seen a catch like that before. And the fact that he did it, you know, in a World Series game so quickly. And I mean, it made some people say that it probably turned the series around, because the Giants went on to sweep the Indians in that particular series. But there's a very interesting anecdote that I read in a book about that catch. Bob Feller, who was one of the pitchers for the Cleveland Indians, I think he was going to be starting game two or game three of that series, probably game two. He said that everybody in the Indians' dugout knew that Willie was going to make that catch. And I think the reason for it is that Willie Mays had this habit that he would hit the glove right before he would catch the ball. And when everybody saw Willie hit the glove, they all knew that he had it all the way. So Willie Mays, the 1954 catch in Game 1 of the 1954 World Series, clearly a defining moment for center fields. He became, in many ways, the gold standard for center fielders on that particular day. So thank you for joining us today and letting me take this look back at memory lane baseball style. Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, and Willie Mays, three of the greatest baseball players of the 20th century, and all three, of course, in the Hall of Fame. What else would you say about them? Thank you for listening, folks, and we will talk to you again the next time. Have a wonderful day. Hello from Dallas, Texas.